Welcome to the Coaches Show, a production of WeAreCorWayne.com. I am your host, Al Gabriel, and alongside me is production engineer Brandon Wyatt. Today we come to you from Corwayne High School in the office of head coach Tom Bolton of the Corwayne Cardinals to wrap up the 2009 football season. Coach, thank you for the time and welcome.
Thanks for having me on again, and it's been a pleasure all year to have you guys.
Thanks, Coach. I want to start with something that you said to us during our preseason interview. We asked you what you would consider a successful season, and you said flat out 15-0. Looking back on what this team did accomplish this season, overcoming an 0-2 start with 8 straight wins, a 10th straight league title, and protecting the decade-long home winning streak, would you reconsider that statement, or is the bar at Corwayne so high that 15-0 is really the only measurement of success now?
Well, that's difficult to say the least. I wouldn't take that back. I mean, that's the expectations that we have at Corwayne High School, that we're going to be 15-0, and we feel that that's the ultimate success, to be 15-0, I guess would be a better way to put it, that it would be the ultimate success. I wouldn't say that this year wasn't a success, but it's difficult to say the least because, I'm struggling with the way how it finished and things like that.
Sure.
And, in my mind and the kids' mind, by the way it finished and things like that, they would probably tell you also that we didn't view it as a total success.
All right, and I understand that. I've known you for a long time, and I know that you're very intense and you want to compete and win at everything that you do. But at some point, or not at some level, 8-2, getting to where you were after that start, to where you were in the conversation for the playoffs at the end, to me, it was a good season.
Yeah,
because that was a hard start.
And I would agree with that. I mean, after we started off 0-2, things could have went south real quick. But the kids fought back, and they won 8 straight, and we ended up beating one heck of a Middletown team, and we ended up winning the GMC title for the 10th year. And when you put all that stuff in perspective and things like that, there were some small successes, but we didn't have the ultimate success that we wanted to.
Okay, not making the playoffs with the schedule that you had. And this program should be commended for stepping up and playing St. X and Elder in back-to-back weeks. There's no doubt about that. What are your feelings about a Harbin point system that rewards teams for not playing those games and trying to find the schedule where they know they can beat somebody and hope that that team goes on and wins 7 or 8 games just to make the playoffs?
Yeah, that's difficult because, it's kind of the double-edged sword. Part of me, I look at it that, hey, we should have just beat, all we had to do was beat one of those two teams at the beginning of the year and wouldn't have to worry about that. And we've been in positions, in past history where we haven't had to worry about that. But with all that being said, You talk to successful coaches, you talk to coaches that programs aren't so successful, they'll all tell you that the system is probably not what it should be or what it could be. You talk to different coaches, people think they have the answer, things like that. But I don't know what the answer. I mean, I think I have it. I don't understand why we couldn't just do it a couple different scenarios where everybody gets in, or now you take 16 teams and things like that. Because I look at it not so much as, I'm crying over spilt milk because we didn't make it, but from the standpoint that it would allow teams to play one another during the regular season.
Sure, sure.
Nobody wouldn't have to go out of state to try to find a team to play, or pay the money to have teams play. It would be best for high school football, if we could have the good teams play without failure of subject, I guess you should say, to such a great penalty.
Sure, and I'm not putting any words in your mouth. This is clearly my statement. If Ohio truly is one of the top 5 hotbeds for high school football in this entire country, it seems to me that there has to be a better way to determine the teams that make it into the playoffs. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's difficult to say the least. Like, I mean, at least the BCS in college, which comes under a lot of scrutiny, at least they take into consideration strength of schedule. And, we could easily went out and paid money to get somebody or traveled somewhere to play somebody else. But, that when that challenge and that opportunity was there before us to play St. X and Elder at the beginning of the year, you know, I wanted that challenge. The coaching staff wanted that challenge, and the kids wanted that challenge. And it's a shame that we're penalized for taking on that challenge.
Sure. And, you know, as I said in our preseason interview, I think it's a great thing that Coleraine and St. X are back to playing on Friday nights, and we'll play home and home in the future.
Sure.
Coach, I'm going to start with your offense. The offense, you know, struggled early in the season against the quality opponents that you played in X and Elder. And if you throw Middletown in there in those three games, you combined for just 17 points. New offensive line, I know that you were banged up a little bit, but were there some other reasons for the inconsistencies or the lack of offense?
Well, I think part of it, the first two hit the nail on the head. You know, we're traditionally, out through all the years, we've traditionally started off slow because of what we do offensively. It's difficult, to say the least. And, you know, even though we had, you know, the quarterback back and the running back, the fullback, and one of the running backs back, there's still the continuity with the offensive line and things like that. So it can be difficult, to say the least, to get that started, and especially when you start slow and you're playing two powerhouses like St. X and Elder. That can be difficult, to say the least. You know, and Middletown had a great defense. That was the biggest thing. You can't take anything away from them.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
You know, really, I look back at the game. We scored three touchdowns. We had one called back on a dumb penalty. Yeah, and then
those were my words.
Yeah,
if anybody's listening.
Yeah, and then we had, you know, so and then we had the other one, the holding went 10 yards in the end zone. So I, you know, I don't know that, but they were great football, a great defense, and same
absolutely.
Way with St. X and Elder, and you can't take that away from them guys.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think a lot of it has to be, you know, kind of goes to what we do offensively, how it affected us early on in the year, and you know, it was tough. Some of our games, there were so many penalties in the Oak Hills game at the end of the year. You know, from an offensive standpoint, that's tough to get into a rhythm when you're playing in games like that.
Sure. And here's a question you probably didn't expect to hear me bring up, but I'm gonna ask you a little bit about the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, you had some success with the passing game with Tabar and Ryan Foster at wideout. You know, we know we run the ball, but we've always had athletes on the field where we're able to hit the home run or have some sort of, you know, 5 to 6 passes a game that, you know, really keep the defense on their heels. This year, it just never seemed to take off. I know you had some changes at wide receiver, and especially after the Elder game. Were there any other factors that may have?
Yeah, well, there were a couple. You know, the first one, like you said, the changes in wide receiver. You know, we brought Jordan Fleck, who's been a defensive kid all his life, and brought him over and you know, to block on the perimeter, which I think he did an exceptional job this year. Brought Bannon Baker over after the St. X game to help with some blocking on the perimeter. But you know, those guys are what they are. They're defensive guys, and it's not their fault. Whatsoever, we just needed them at a certain facet, and they helped out. But we struggled in the passing game with that, and you know, also we didn't. You know, obviously you don't let a lot of things out, you know, during the season. But we went through about a 3-game, almost a 4-game stretch there with Greg, where he had a pretty bad shoulder injury that he could not lift his arm. Basically above his shoulder. So that definitely did affect the passing game, to say the least.
Okay.
But, you know, I give Greg credit. He buckled down and, you know, we adjusted and we had to do what we do offensively.
All right. I did not know that about the injury. How is he now?
He's fine. He's just a little time getting it to heal and things like that. He got better towards the end, last 2 games of the year. But that middle of the season, about that 4-game stretch there, he was in some definite pain.
One of the bright spots on offense this season was the play of your senior center, Brandon Good. You asked him to move around to a lot of different positions this year, and he seemed to handle it in stride. I want to also mention that Brandon made first team all Southwest District. Talk a little bit about your captain and what he meant to your team this year.
Brandon's a kid who, you know, all the other kids give him grief and call him Coach Good. He's like having a coach out there on the field between the lines. He's a smart football player. He doesn't look like the most athletic guy. You know, he only stands about 6'1". He's about 265 pounds, but he's a flat out football player. He is athletic as all get out. He understands the game. He makes the line checks. I will miss him tremendously next year, but he's got big things to come at the next level. And you know, somebody's going to be willing to take a shot on him, even though he's 6'1", because of how good he is at the center position. And phenomenal football player, great young man, and a smart, smart football player.
Do you know if he has any kind of feelers or scholarship?
Oh, yeah. We're just kind of getting into that now here at this part of the season, okay. You know, into November here, and then it'll pick up early December, January, and things like that. So he'll definitely be playing scholarship football for somebody somewhere next year.
That is wonderful news, Coach. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look back on the 2009 defense, special teams, and take a look ahead to 2010. You're listening to the Coach's Show on WeAreColerain.com. And we're back. We're joined today by head coach of the Coleraine Cardinals, Tom Bolden. I am Al Gabriel of WeAreColerain.com, and alongside me is production engineer Brandon Wyatt. Coach, you said at the beginning of the year that your defense was one of the fastest units that you've had since you've been here, and maybe one of the fastest overall. And they certainly did not disappoint this year. Talk about that unit. They only gave up 10.7 points per game. That's amazing.
Yeah, they were they were the backbone behind this team. You know, you take it back to the St. X, other than, you know, that fourth quarter of the St. X where we kind of gave them that gimme touchdown at the end. But, you know, you look at the Elder game when Elder scored the majority of their points in a minute and 50 window, just under 2 minutes.
Right.
You know, they played tremendous football, especially those last four or five games of the year. I knew they'd be the backbone behind the team. They you know, it's a typical Coleraine defense. They run fast. They hit hard. They're as good as any I had here, and they rank up there with some of the best that we've had here. And the greatest thing about that is the majority of them are back for next year.
Absolutely. Now, we talked about one of the question marks of the team coming into the season was the play. How is the defensive line going to hold up? You explained to us in the preseason interview that size did not really matter as much to your defensive line because of the 50 slant angle, mm-hmm. and that they're not required to occupy blockers as much as they're to occupy gaps.
Mm-hmm.
I think your defensive line was outstanding this year. They maybe got worn down a little bit because X is the only team that ran downhill on them this year. What were your assessment of how that, just the line, how they played?
Yeah, not to take anything away from those young men. They did a tremendous job. But, you know, those kids took one for the team, basically. You know, what we've had the last couple years is we've just basically taken linebackers and another kid, Dom Carter, who was a running back his junior year, and these kids took one from the team, and they put their hand in the dirt. And, you know, the last couple years, unfortunately, we hadn't had the prototypical D lineman that we've had in the past. You know, the Birds, the Mills, the Davises, you know, those type of kids. We just unfortunately hadn't had them in the past. Or this year, or last couple of years, and but those kids, for an all in all, you know, to be linebackers, having to put their hands in the dirt, and did a tremendous job, to say the least. And you know, my hat's off to those guys because that was a big question mark going in, and I think they performed tremendously.
All right, somebody that doesn't get a lot of love or a lot of run around is defensive coordinator Sean Cutright.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of an unsung hero, and he's had to fill some pretty big shoes as defensive coordinator taking over for Kerry Combs. I think he's done an excellent job. Can you talk a little bit about Coach Cutright, what he means to you in this program?
Yeah, Sean's a great guy. Sean is a guy who he and I relate well because we are so similar. We are very intense, to say the least.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, and, you know, he has a great passion about what he does. And he's creative with what he does. He has great passion about it. And he has a vision for the defense. He has, you know, certain goals and expectations for them. And he's got a great way to get it across. And, you know, he's a coach that the kids want to play for. And, you know, and he wants to do well. He does well. He'll continue to do well. And he's a great asset to our football team, to say the least.
Is there any chance that we can get him to trade in that brown visor that he wears?
Well, yeah, that's funny.
Something new?
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to him about that because what happened was after the first two games of the year, you know, you talk to any coach, they all have their superstitions.
Oh, yeah.
He somehow thought that One part of the reason why we weren't so successful the first two games was the new visor he was wearing, apparently. So he dug down and got his old beat up faded one, and that's just how Sean is, and he was sticking with it for the rest of the year.
That's outstanding. Going to move on to special teams. Want to mention that Greg Tabar did get honored as first team All Southwest District punter. I think that's a tremendous honor for the young man. Called upon to do double duty this year. Mm-hmm. Talk about him in the kicking game, and does he have any looks right now as a potential specialist in the next level?
Yeah, Greg was tremendous. Greg's a kid who actually, you know, you looked at him, he done it all. You know, the tough thing I struggled with at the beginning of the year was that, you know, obviously playing quarterback in our offense, and anybody's offense, but especially ours, is very demanding from a physical and mental standpoint. And, you know, and also kicking. I mean, there's nothing. I'm not so much physical. I mean, if you got a strong leg, you got a strong leg. But the mental aspect of it. And I didn't want to overload him with too much. But you know, we got to a point in the year where we realized, hey, he's our guy. You know, and he's a great kid, and he can handle this. And we need to get him out there, and we need to get him doing it. And he did a tremendous job, to say the least. You know, he is a Division I punter. He's probably a Division I place kicker also. He did a tremendous job for us. I mean, you know, like you said, all Southwest Ohio punter. Set a school record with a 60-yard punt this year. Place kicking was 3 or 4 from field goals. I think it was 20-20 at extra points. And he's got a cannon for a leg. And, you know, he's been offered a preferred walk-on down at the University of Cincinnati. And when Coach Combs came in, he said, Greg, I want you to understand, you know, we want you to punt, we want you to kick. He said, but we also want you to come down and think of yourself as a quarterback also. So that says a lot about the kid and his character. And, you know, he could go on somewhere, maybe play, you know, wide receiver for somebody. He could go on somewhere big and just punt if he wanted to punt and place right. kick. So those will be some things that Greg's got to figure out what exactly he wants to do. But tremendous special teams player, to say the least.
That's outstanding. And going back to that preferred walk-on, that's, you know, knowing what happened with Colin Lozier this year, who is now the starting fullback at the University of Cincinnati, he was a preferred walk-on.
Well, yeah, so. Well, you never know, and that's the thing about it. You know, unfortunately, and the longer I do this, I realize, you know, with the coaches in and out, you know, just had 5 of them in here today, that, you know, sometimes there's a lot of them that are hung up on you know, certain speed, certain body frame, certain height, certain weight, things like that. But the one thing I do know is that, you know, if you're a football player, you're a football player.
That's right.
I don't care how big you are, how fast you are and whatnot, and or if you fit a certain profile, you know, if you got it in your heart and you can get it done, you can get it done. That's the type of kid that Lozier is, and that's the type of kid that Greg is. So, you know, those preferred walk-on offers to guys like that become scholarships.
One more quick hit on the special teams. We mentioned to you in our preview interview that we noticed that there was a lot of time spent on covering kicks this year during two-a-days and during practice, at least from what I had noticed. And your coverage teams were outstanding this year compared to, you know, the last couple of years where there had been some breakdowns. The return game, though, as I was looking up in the GMC stats, that the return numbers were still the middle to the bottom of the pack in the GMC. Seeing what Middletown had with, is it Banks?
The Gates kid, Gates kid. Yep.
Sorry to all of our Middletown listeners. How much of a game changer that can be in the return game. Is that going to be a point of emphasis going forward with all the plethora of speedy running backs that you have to choose from?
Yeah, it is. And it's difficult from the standpoint that, you know, Tyler did have the punt return this year, but, you know, in the thing, you know, but even though some teams still did it with the Gates kid, that, you know, when a kid's that good, I don't care how much you practice or you game plan for it. If I'm playing against Tyler Williams and he's back returning punts, he better not get a chance to return one. You know, and I think that's part of the problem. Obviously, with the kickoffs and things like that, you know, if you're not turning a lot of kickoffs for touchdowns, in a way, that's a good thing because it means the teams aren't getting a lot of chances to kick off against you.
That's
so we kind of look at it that way. But, you know, our opportunities have been there, just been off a little bit here and there. But like I said, sometimes you don't get those opportunities when your kids are that talented. Any coach who's you know worth his weight will know. I better not be kicking it to those kids.
All right, great. All right, Coach. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up with Coach Bolden and take a look ahead to 2010. You're listening to the Coach's Show on WeAreCorain.com. And we're back with Tom Bolden on WeAreCorain.com. Coach, looking ahead to 2010, the schedule's not entirely finalized yet, but we already know that Elder's going to make a return visit here to the cage to play, and there will be a return game for you down in Louisville against DuPont Manual. I know that the Skyline event in Week 1 has not been finalized yet. Can you talk a little bit, though, about the challenges that you have and Dan Bolden have finding games to play?
Yeah, I don't think people realize how difficult it is. You know, obviously it's not just as easy as, you know, calling somebody up and saying, hey, we have this open date, you have this open date, let's get together. Because unfortunately, how we discussed earlier about the playoff system and whatnot, it's difficult to say the least. We have probably contacted over 50 to 75 schools in regards to that have open dates within probably 200-mile radius. And unfortunately, probably a little bit larger radius than that, to be honest with you. But it's difficult, to say the least. We're fortunate enough for next year that, like you said, we do have our Elder game. We'll have a showdown game. I do not know who that'll be yet. I'll probably know here within the next couple weeks, and I'll make sure I let you guys know that should
Excellent.
Be on the
Thank
website.
You.
And we are going down to Louisville, and then we'll have our seven league games. But you know, we've got in 2011 and 12, we'll have St. X for home and a home starting in. And we'll have our showdown game, but we're struggling to find a week two right now. So if there's any coaches out there listening who check this out, if you want to get together and get it on week two, feel free to give me a call. So we'll see how that goes. But it's a struggle, to say the least. And, you know, it's unfortunately I'm beginning to feel that we may have to end up like the GCL teams and start doing some traveling. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
And, you know, for listeners out there who aren't necessarily familiar with what that entails, that's not easy for you guys to do. I mean, everybody can say, well, why don't you go up to Cleveland and play this school, or why don't you go down or to Indianapolis? It takes a lot of money for a public school to travel, and that comes out of the coffers, and
yeah,
you can't dip into it.
We're working on it. We have a certain budget. There's a number that we have to stay with, and you know, it's unfortunately, it's expensive to travel, and you know, we got to stay where we're at. But you know, we'll find a way. If we have to go somewhere and play somebody, we'll find a way to get it done.
All right, Coach. You're going to have to replace Tabor, quarterback. Right now it looks like that Tyler Williams may have the inside track to that job. Just looking ahead and playing the assumption game here, if Tyler is your quarterback, will taking him away from the wing and putting the ball in his hands from the under center, will that help keep defenses honest that tend to overplay based on where he's lined up on the wing?
Yeah, I think it could do nothing but help. As I had somebody ask me that question, you know, why would you take that kid away from running back? Well, I said to him last time I checked, the quarterback touches the ball, you know, every play. I mean, you know, so, well, the center, I guess, would be more important. I'm running, yeah, playing center for us. He touches it every play also. But lest you do that wild cat or wild card or wild dolphin or whatever the heck's going on around there. But Tyler presents a very interesting problem for a lot of teams, to say the least, especially if he's back there in the quarterback position. He could do some great things from underneath center. He could do some great things in the shotgun. So, and believe it or not, that little sucker can throw it. It's going to be interesting, to say the least, and we'll see how things play out. And we've got some able backups with some great JV quarterback kids also that are that'll be battling for position in Dustin Smith and Jake Ridings. And they're working hard, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
And you mentioned the shotgun. If anybody was at the Oak Hills game, they saw Tyler Williams come in the shotgun and play a little bit of the zone read in the second half of that football game. Is that something that may eventually become baby step toward progressing to what Corian's offense could be in the future with the option?
We're always going to.
Or is that just going to be a wrinkle?
We're always a triple team. Now,
okay.
And I can tell you this, we're always going to be a triple team. Now, you can be a triple team from underneath, and you can be a triple option team out of the shotgun. So, that's basically where that from. You know, all these colleges that you watch and all that is basically what our offense is. They're just in the shotgun doing it, and where it presents some spacing problems and things like that. So, we'll probably be a team next year that will show some more of that.
All right. Now, I know it's early. We haven't hit the full team workout with weightlifting yet. Midnight lift's not here yet. I know you've been hard at work as a coach. Right now, as we sit in your office before Thanksgiving, what are your expectations of the 2010 season?
15-0.
That's great.
You know what I mean? It doesn't change. And I'm not just saying that because I said it before. We're 15-0. And the kids know that. And, it's just how it is. It's how it's always going to be here. I'm sure when I'm, I don't plan on going anywhere, but I'm sure when I'm dead and gone and I'm 6 feet in the ground and all that, that if I'm fortunate enough, I don't know, my wife might have me cremated and dump my ashes at Rumpke or something. I don't know, knowing her. If I'm, that'll always be the expectations here. And 15-0. 15-0, to say the least.
And that's a wonderful thing, because I remember when we were here as students and players, that was the expectation. You know, we were one of the few public schools that played the GCL on a regular basis and could always compete with the GCL on a regular basis. And let's be honest, that's the measure of what, you know, Southwest Ohio and Cincinnati football is. It's one of the best leagues in the country, and Corian is right there with them consistently.
Without a doubt.
Coach, I want to thank you for your time. You're always gracious to us, and I wish you luck in the off season, and we'll be around and keep going.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And for all those eager listeners, you mentioned something about passing, but you didn't paint me in the corner. And I know you wanted to ask me if we will throw the ball more next year, and I can say right now at 3:35 on Tuesday, the 24th of November, that yes, we will throw the ball more next year.
Coach, as always, thank you for your time. Outstanding.
It's my pleasure, guys. Been a pleasure all year. All that you guys do with wearecorain.com, all the people who go on the website, listen to it, watch and all that, thank you guys. Even if you're not Corian people, just thank you for being high school football fans, and honoring high school football, greatest game that's out there. Thanks, everybody.
We've been listening to The Coach's Show on wearecorain.com.